Med slagrum. That's pancake with cream. Easy to lie, and I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. Good morning to those I've never said good morning to today. The Lord has given me a title for that which he has guided me to speak of this morning. It is this: Nicodemus and we. And I shall, of course, be giving mention to those two most powerful words: born again. A spiritual standing of which I believe most here today have already achieved. However, if any of you have minds that leave you unsure of where you are concerning this issue, it is my hope and prayerful intentions that encouragement shall come through this message. Can I request then that you turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 3. This, many of you will recognize as being one of the most important chapters throughout the whole Bible. However, I want us to concentrate on just the first 8 verses. And I shall read from the NIV. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Blessed are those words from the Gospel of John. This conversation between our Lord Jesus Christ and Nicodemus is so very important. It speaks to us of new birth and salvation. It tells of a next step forward into the light after receiving the calling. And thus I am led to bring this message before you. It's about being born again and moving forward into a state of spiritual awakening. It's about a change of heart and understanding, placing within us the acceptance that Jesus really is our Saviour. And that he stands within our hearts as being above all other things. Yeah? It explains to us that at some time between the cradle and the grave, we need to move forward from where we are and discover within us a spiritual change of heart. In other words, my dear brothers and sisters, we need rebirth. We need urgently to be born again if we are to enter that kingdom, the kingdom of God. But before delving deeper into this matter, let us look back to Nicodemus. When we read those words, "How can someone be born again when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Should we laugh at his thoughts here? Should we snigger and consider them as silly? No, we should not. Let us remember that we have 2,000 years of biblical hindsight to look back on, with lots of preachings and lots of teachings have passed down to us. But for Nicodemus at that time in history, what Jesus had said sounded as ridiculous and also impossible. So, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council, which equates today, if he were a Roman Catholic, let me say, as someone of high rank and a position whose office of work might be somewhere in the Vatican. He was then above the rank of a village priest. He was not a fool. He was a highly educated man. And we also need taking our thoughts to how we might think today of Pharisees. Our teachings tell us that they mostly considered our Lord as a fake and a nuisance. To them, he seemed to be talking against the Old Testament laws of Judaism, and he was becoming dangerous. But Nicodemus thought differently. He had need to speak to this man. There was something about Jesus that was different. Something about him that drew this Pharisee to come to Jesus at night. Allow me, please, just to explain a little of about Pharisees. They were a lay fellowship who came into being in the 2nd century BC, and they were dedicated to strict observance of Mosaic law. But it had often been mentioned by Christian scholars that they had somewhat degenerated into self-righteousness, hypocritical religionists. It also considered that they laid the foundations for what is known today as Orthodox Judaism. And now let's turn back to Nicodemus. Could it be that maybe he had feelings of concern about the feeling of his own soul? And thus perhaps it came about that his reasoning to visit Jesus privately and by night was just that. After all, if we have concerns about our souls, shouldn't we and wouldn't we, first of all, turn to Jesus? In such circumstances, I can think of no one better to turn to. If you agree to that, just say hallelujah, will you? Hallelujah. I believe his visit to Christ did something wonderful for Nicodemus. It moved him onto a pathway of righteousness and light. And there would come a time not so far in his future when that light would glow. He stood up in the Sanhedrin among the Jewish council and spoke up in defense of our Lord. John 7:51. Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him, to find out what he is doing? Brave and credible words indeed. But the answer to his question came back like this: "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." And there is yet another time when the positiveness of Nicodemus would show, and his glowing light of righteousness glow even more so. Jesus had died on that cross at Calvary. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took his body to the grave and laid him to rest. They did honour towards our Lord's body when even the apostles had seemingly forsaken him and fled into hiding. So, my dear brothers and sisters, take confidence from these short and few mentionings we have about Pharisee Nicodemus. He had moved forward in Christ from a novice believer, and in such a short time, it seems he had turned fully into the light. Just maybe he had been born again. Compare Nicodemus, if you will, with Judas Iscariot. He was a disciple, but he fell into darkness, turning in the opposite direction, walking away from Jesus for what he thought was profit. Whilst our Nicodemus, the Jewish Pharisee, a leader among the Jews from the Sanhedrin, came forward out of that darkness and moved into the light. I recently read somewhere that about the same time as Judas was hanging himself, suicide, Nicodemus was helping lay the body of Jesus, our Saviour, to rest. So let us never laugh and mock the likes of Nicodemus and those simple thoughts of returning to his mother's womb. He was moving towards the light, a godly man who spiritually moved in a direction to visualize a life that would be way beyond his Jewish and Pharisee teachings. Let us then return to those two small words. They are, in fact, not small in their power of description. Together they become two huge and mighty words. Placed together, they do truthfully mean born again, a rebirth, a spiritual rebirth. Brothers and sisters, are you fully aware that our beautiful Lord Jesus has done absolutely everything for us? He paid the price of our redemption. He came down to earth and lived with us and for us. He died for us, and he rose again for us. But all will avail us nothing unless we are born again. Remember again those words from Christ that he spoke to Nicodemus. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. But why? Why is it so? It is so because the natural sinfulness of every human's disposition, unfortunately, no matter how loving, thoughtful, and kind our earthly parents might seem to be or have been, we were not born and raised as perfect, innocent minds, but raised corrupt and wicked. And yet, for such, we must not blame our parents. For the truth of this sickness that all of humankind live with and suffers with goes right back to Adam. So don't blame your parents. They raise us and guide us as well as they can with a love and care that is wonderful, very, very special. And as we grow older, we should definitely come to realize such. We always must remember that to pay gratitude to our dads and our mums. Our sufferings are because of ourselves, because we love to have and do things our own way and through our own inclinations. And as such, it becomes our own law, a law that we come to love for far more than we should. We are forever seeking to bring fruit towards ourselves. And shamefully, it's not always necessarily the kind of fruit God would want us to bring to him. I'm not a doctor, but I understand sickness because I suffer it too. The problem is that I, just like you, am human. And like you, even as a Christian, I tend to stumble and fall far more often than I want to. And oh yes, I cry out that I might somehow become perfect. And oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, I really do wish and pray for you also, that you too, along with I, can walk that righteous pathways together, all the way to stand side by side on that solid rock. How few of us, I wonder, really consider drunkenness as being so sinful? How few of us consider anger without cause as being as bad as murder, and wanton looks as bad as adultery? Where are those of us who truly strive to love our enemies and can bless those who hate us? How many of us fail to do what we sometimes should do, and sometimes do things that we should not do, and say things that we shouldn't, and not say things that maybe sometimes we should? Sin is not merely about those horrible things, murderers, rapists, child molesters, vicious thieves, etc., etc. It surely might make us wish we could start all over again. Well, let me right here say, we can start all over again. Prayer and repentance. Repentance and prayer. Individually, it's about each of us alone and just as we are, as we've just sung, because our new birth has to come from within us. It's not about our will. It's about we allowing the Holy Spirit within to guide us and lead us according to his will. This story of Nicodemus is meant to teach us that we should never personally convict anyone just because we think they waver short of our own Christian expectations. If someone seems timid, let us think of Timothy and what he did achieve. That very word timid came out because of him. And if someone comes over as doubtful, let's think of Thomas. He was to take Christianity to India. We are all well stamped with imperfections. But even so, we are so loved by the Father who gave us his Son. And let us never, ever forget that. Jesus did not break nor condemn Nicodemus. What he did was lead him gently and lovingly into the truth of who he was, the truth of Christ. In everything and in everyone, there has to be a beginning. The true level of spiritual love and spiritual sincerity and spiritual faith can journey through humbleness and quietness just as it can through loud enthusiasm. just as we are then, without one plea, we come. And yet, we came into this world with no natural inclination to serve and obey, and no real desire to do his will. Left to ourselves, no child of Adam would ever turn towards the one true God, who is our Father in heaven. But he has called you, and he has called I, into his light. He is our Lord, he is our Saviour, and he is our friend. He is our best friend, the best friend we're ever going to have. He chose me, and he chose you. He came to us and turned us around. We didn't choose to become Christians. He came into our lives. He chose us and left us to take the next step, to be born again. Now, do understand this. It is up to each of us individually to take that step forward. God will not do it for us. Pastors can't do it for us. And all we can do for each other in this matter is encourage and love each other and pray for each other. Some of you, I'm certain, have already reached this glorious goal. But also some of us might still be struggling a little bit. So let me say that if we can truly inwardly declare that Jesus in our life is valued by us as the most important issue within our lives, and that he is truly above all other things in our hearts, and that there is absolutely nothing that could turn our minds away from him, then just perhaps we've arrived. It's only through our heart, mind and soul. He wants all of us. And if we give him all of us, we may be able to declare that I'm born again. I'm saved. Therefore, except we be born of water and of the Spirit, we can never enter the kingdom of God. Unless we understand this as meaning that the inward us must be thoroughly cleansed by water, think of a pregnant woman's water flow, and also be led into the powerful realization again, allowing freely through our hearts, souls, minds, the Holy Spirit that is within, and give him, the Holy Spirit within, access to us. Every bit of us, that he might work through us according to his will. Just remember, we have no personal control over the Holy Spirit within. We just need to allow him his control and power over ourselves. Thinking back to those times of Nicodemus, for someone to possess those privileges of Judaism, a man needed to be born only of the seed of Abraham. Whereas to possess the privileges of God's kingdom, we must be born again of the Holy Spirit. So to close, what is being born again? Well, this change which our Lord declares for our salvation is so extremely powerful and amazing as to be almost beyond our understanding. It is not merely reformation or reformation or an amendment or a moral change or even an outward alteration of life. It is a thorough change of heart, change of will, change of character. It is a resurrection. It is a new creation. It is a passing from spiritual death to life. It is the implanting within our dead hearts of a new principle that comes from above. It is the calling into existence of a new creature, with a new nature, with new habits of life, new tastes and new desires, new appetite and new judgments and new opinions and new hopes and even new fears. And with it might also come tears, tears of joy and tears of frustration about ourselves and the journey that we're taking. But such a change of heart is rendered absolutely necessary for our salvation, simply because of the corrupt conditions into which we are all, without exception, born as human beings, descendants of Adam. So to bring now really to the close, many years back it was put before me that a good way to make judgments of ourselves regarding whether or not we are born again is to remember the words Jesus used when asked which was the greatest commandment. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, he answered that question with these words: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. And right there with those glorious words is the ideal place to begin our new journey. We all need to personally think about ourselves, even if we think we've already saved deep within our hearts, souls and minds. We all need to think about our own personal relationship with our God. And if we do, and we think positively, then brothers and sisters, we are surely walking his pathway into his wondrous light. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, go forth in good heart and march forward, for you are the chosen, and maybe already among those who have already been born again. So go then with a peace and a love in your heart, and serve our one true God, for he has called for you and I to be his forever. Amen. Amen.
The greatest commandment that the Lord left with us: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Being born again is an interesting word. But then, if you don't love the Lord or love your neighbor, how do you then express your love or your Christian life? You might be in church all day, I've said this several times. You might be in church all day, but I think she was going out to pick him up. Yeah. You might be in church all year round, but you don't love the Lord your God. You don't love your neighbor. Then you're not with Christ. One of the things that Jesus Christ did that was interesting was that, like our brother said, he never condemned Nicodemus. Some of you might look at people and say, what sort of question are you asking? That question looks stupid and look unclear. How can a man be born again? How can a man be born in go through his mother's womb again? But Jesus took his time to explain to him. And I want to express that to you as well, that your ability to share this love of God is what shows what God is in your life. Is what shows how God has been able to take over your life. Is what shows how much you've given of yourself to God. As you bow your head right now, I want you to just ponder over this word. Just ponder over this word and ask yourself, have I actually, truly loved the Lord my God with all my heart? Have I actually loved my neighbor as myself? Just bow your head now as we take that song, I Surrender All. As we take that song, just speak to God.